Hello, everyone, and welcome to the first episode of the Master Your Mindset podcast. Today on our show, we have MJ. MJ is an avid urban sketcher, an illustrator, a nature lover, and she has recently gone through a big transition in her life. She's just got back from an amazing experience and is here today to share a bit of her story with us. She's a really good friend of mine. She's in a weekly mastermind group with myself and a group of others, and I'm excited to have her on our first episode. Welcome, everyone, and welcome, MJ.
Thank you.
Hi, MJ.
Hello.
How are you doing?
I'm good. You?
I'm doing excellent. Thank you. So, as our first guest on the Master Your Mindset podcast, I'll have you on and give you the opportunity to share a little bit about your story and what you've been kind of going through. I know for the last month, you've been on quite the experience. So maybe you could just catch us up on, you know, what you've been up to and where your head's at right now.
Oh man, I've been through a lot. But in a very short summary, I've recently been through a separation leading to a divorce. I was in California for a month and a half learning under a master muralist how to become a muralist, and I just got back from that experience, and now I'm basically rebuilding my life from there. So yeah, that's a summary.
Yes, I mean that's a quick summary. Can you tell us a little bit more about the experience that you just had in California with the muralist, like where you were, what was entailed, how you got there? I know a little bit about it, and I think that it's very interesting, and it could be very exciting.
Yes. So for me, it was one of these things where I just trusted the process. I saw this link on Facebook of the muralist. I was looking for interns, and I just applied. I just like sent them an email saying I was interested. And it just so happened that the timing that I was looking for a mural intern was perfect for me. So I basically packed my bag and head on to Northern California for a month and a half. I didn't know much about him except that, you know, he had an intern that would come on a regular basis to his house with his wife and his dogs and his cat, and we would just learn how to paint murals. So I kind of like went on a leap of faith and decided to do this. So I ended up in California in the middle. It's not really in the middle of nowhere, but it's like in the mountains. There's not a lot of things going on. There's a lot of trees, there's a lot of nature and things like this. And I basically learned to face my fear in a lot of different occasions, climbing scaffoldings, being in people's houses that I didn't know. Like there's just so many different amazing experiences that happened just from me being in a place I was completely out of my comfort zone, completely unknown, and kind of just reacting to what was coming at me on a regular basis. So,
okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's pretty amazing. You said a couple of times about just like you're facing your fear. What fear exactly are you referring to?
Oh, so many. Not being in control of anything. So like once I got there, like I didn't do a huge amount of research on what was going to happen and things like this. I was totally dependent on the people that were there, because it's not like if I had a car to be able to drive around or things like this. Scaffoldings, like I used to be afraid to like be able to paint a mural that would be like of a normal house, like, you know, 8 foot tall by 10 foot wide.
I'm just like a normal size.
Yeah. Right. It's like, I don't know if I could do that. And then I get to the place and his studio is like basically 30 feet high by, 40 feet wide with scaffoldings, and we have to go up the scaffoldings and things like this. So after, you know, 2-3 times of going up the scaffoldings, I'm like, I can do a small mural. That's nothing.
Okay.
Things like this.
Yeah. So what was it like for you? I mean, when you showed up there on day one, you've obviously never met this individual before. Mm-hmm. I understand it was like, you know, you found it online or through somebody else.
Yeah.
Had this experience before. So you get on the plane, you fly to California, you show up at this guy's house. What was that experience like when you first kind of showed up there and encounter this new individual that you were going to be living with that you pretty much never met assuming before. Yeah,
pretty much. Like, the thing is, I had met him just once. I had a conference. He came to Toronto. So I knew that it was a muralist. I knew that. But that's about it. And I met one girl who had gone there before. And I just, as you know, I did like a few little basic research to make sure that, you know, that's a real person. He's not crazy and stuff like that. So another girl had gone there before. She said, yeah, it was a good experience. She gave me like a little bit of info, but not too much. It's like, you know, it's a little difficult, but it's a great experience. And I'm like, all right, just go for it. I was looking for signs that this was the right thing for me to do. So the fact that the timing was perfect for me, and when they came to pick me up at the airport, it was him and his wife. They had to go and visit some place because they were looking for an RV. They're going to actually tour, not like kind of tour the U.S. to be able to install murals, and they're going all together as a family. So they were looking to buy a secondhand RV. So the day that they picked me up was in the afternoon. They're like, I hope you don't mind. We just need to go and check out this RV that somebody is selling. Do you mind going with us? I'm like, yeah, that's fine. So then I go, and as soon as I come out, there was a few dogs, and the first dog that came towards me was an Italian Greyhound, which is, you know, one of my dog, and they're super rare. And for me, I took that as a sign. I'm like, okay, you're in a good place. Don't worry, everything's fine.
Right, because you have your own Italian Greyhound.
I own an Italian Greyhound.
Right, and, let's clarify that, because like, I think that's a pretty cool sign. And the fact that it came up to you when they're not exactly the friendliest dogs, it must have made you felt welcome.
Oh, yeah, because they're very scared of new people. And it was interesting to see there was this little girl that lived in the house that had kind of like a surprised look. And it's like, why did the dog just ran towards me and kind of jumped at me as if I knew the dog and was my friend. And like, I petted the dog and she seemed to be a little like, what the hell's going on type thing. I'm like, okay, that's a good sign. I'm where I'm supposed to be. It's fine. So little things like this. And also, when it took me a couple of days to see that, but I made a vision board early this year about things that I, you know, want to see, things that inspires me and stuff like that.
Yeah. And
one of the things on the vision board, because, you know, I want to be an artist, I want to be a successful artist, I put a picture of an artist that I admire. His name is Alphonse Michat. And like of him with a little mural of one of his artwork behind him. And it was on my vision board. And I actually took pictures of my vision board with me on my cell phone. So I kind of like look at them on a semi-regular basis.
Oh, that's a great idea.
Oh, yeah. Because I was like, I'm going there, you know, whatever. Let me just have that and stay positive and stuff like that. So it took me a couple of days to realize that in the main living space of the artist, there's a giant mural. It's half finished, but there's a giant mural that he and some other interns did when they have a bit of time of that artist, Alphonse Michat, like of him, like of one of his work. And it took me a couple of days to realize, like, I mean, did you see that what was on your vision board is actually a giant mural that's in their space?
Yeah.
And which was like, when I saw it, I'm like, how did I not see that? And then I kind of like look back and in my room, because there's like two rooms for the interns. So next to my room, there's like a little corridor, and on the corridor, there's a couple posters, like calendar posters of the work of the same artist. So I took that as another sign again. I'm like, okay, I guess I'm where I'm supposed to be, because what are the chances that what's on my vision board is like right where I'm staying. So yeah. Right.
So at that point, I mean, you went into this with some fears and hesitations, obviously. Mm-hmm. From just listening to you, you also went in with a lot of excitement.
Yes.
My question is, once you kind of like got past that initial introduction, you settled for a couple of days, you're seeing these signs, right, from your vision board. Mm-hmm. What was your mindset? Like, did your mindset shift from having that fear and that initial kind of state when you were just getting there versus like actually feeling like this is where you were supposed to be?
Mm-hmm. There, like, definitely the fear subsided. There's always like a little bit of fear because it's like, it's such an unknown. I don't have any control of the space, but it subsided, and I gave more space to being open-minded and also be aware of my surroundings. Because to me, that was like, there's a lot of, like, if I subside too much of the fear, I'm going to miss out all the gifts that are around. So I basically focused my attention to everything that was good and everything that was positive, and not paid too much attention to the stuff that was not so good, basically.
I think that's amazing, because like, if you can like recognize the fear, which you did, but you didn't hang on to it, you didn't allow it to dictate your decisions, mm-hmm. right? You put that fear aside, mm-hmm. and then you focus on the good and you focus on the positive, and you allow yourself to keep moving forward. because I remember from another conversation we had, you talked a little bit about this guy and his temper tantrums and him being a little of a 6-year-old man. And it sounded like there was like these different moments where at any time you could have pulled the plug, hit the eject button and headed back home, but you didn't. And you really should give yourself props for that, because you were on your own in this kind of foreign place where you had to stand on your own 2 feet and not only just, you know, be there, but also be part of these murals and be part of the process and to do your part. So I think that's really commendable. And I think just the fact you're able to keep pushing forward is something that is really remarkable. So good for you, MJ. So let's talk a little bit about now, just before you got out to California. And like you said, you went through a big divorce. I believe you were married for almost 18 years.
Married for 10, together for 18,
Okay, sorry. So married for 10, together for 18 years. That's a big chapter of your life that came to a close. Can we kind of like just talk a little bit about that? Because right now your energy is amazing. Like you're high energy, you're super positive and stuff. And I know it wasn't always like that. And I know I know you for, I guess, a couple of years now, and I know the transition you've been through. So maybe you could just speak a little bit about, you know, where you were at when you kind of first met your husband. His name is Jamie. Met Jamie, to being together, to realizing that maybe this wasn't going to be working out, to actually ending the marriage, and then also rediscovering yourself.
Yeah, that's a long process. But I mean, everything was... It was going well for like most of the year. It's just, I would say the past 5 or 6 years, there's like little red flags, I guess that's the best way that I can describe it. There's things that didn't seem to fit properly, but I couldn't really pinpoint what it was. Maybe it's one of these things where you're kind of trying not to focus on these things, avoid them. But sometimes you can't avoiding is just making things worse. But like, there seemed like things just didn't feel 100% right. And then we moved from another city to here.
Hold on.
Oops, sorry.
Yeah, sorry. Let me just check in here, because you say things didn't feel 100% right. Yeah. I'm sure that wasn't from the beginning.
No.
I'm assuming everything was great.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
So how long did it take before you had those red flags? And
So let's say 18 years together, 10 years. Like, I would say 5 years into the marriage. So how long would that be? Plus the 8 years before. So 13 years or something like that, could it be?
Yeah, so for the first 13 years, everything was cool.
Yeah, it was cool. But like, I can't think of anything wrong before that.
Yeah, I'm sure you had your differences. I'm just talking about these so-called red flags that you're talking about.
Yeah.
Okay, so 13 years in, let's say.
Yeah, that was fine. Okay. It's just like after 13 years, there was just like a couple... Like, it's more like a question of how I felt. And like these feelings were not 100% settled. Like when we started talking about potentially having kids, that was kind of like a weird... subject that we never kind of like really settled on, and it seems like we didn't really have the same opinion, but we weren't really sure about, at least I wasn't really sure about, does he want to have kid, does he not want to have kid, like things like this. And then like feeling that something was missing. So for me, how that was solved was to get, well, let's just get a dog and see what happens. And as we got that was like kind of like, you know, that's the thing that people do, like get a dog, see how that goes, and then move on from there. So we got a dog, and I kind of like, I got to see like, or slowly realize that I'm like, I don't know if he really wants to have kids. Like, I'm okay if we can't have any, but I was open to try, and I thought that he was as well, but I don't know, like things were starting to feel a little bit weird. And then we moved to Toronto, and then like, I felt like there was a bit more distance. Like slowly but surely there's a little bit more distance, but there were so many other things that are going through my mind, you know, starting a new career as an artist, moving into a new place, settling in, taking care of the dog. Because the thing is, the dog had his leg broken, which kind of like shift. Like there's a lot of little things that was happening that was kind of like veering off from trying to figure out what was going on throughout our life as a couple. And me trying to figure out for myself what was going on. And that led me to more self-development. That led me to going to the mastermind and kind of just looking within myself, as opposed to looking into the marriage or looking out. I was like, let me look and to see like is it something about me basically? Because I wasn't happy. Like the last 5 years, more and more, I was getting less and less happy, and I couldn't figure out what it was. So then I did more self development, and I went to the group.
Right. So you knew there was something was off. Mm-hmm. But what's interesting here is that you didn't actually take the approach of looking at the marriage as you guys as a couple. Mm-hmm. You were more interested in what was off for you as a person.
Yeah.
And why you weren't happy.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
In a lot of cases, I think that a lot of people would either maybe put the blame on their partner, right? And say everything that's going wrong is on the other person, mm-hmm. or even as a couple. Mm-hmm. But with your particular case, you're saying that you were kind of looking at yourself and you were trying to see, okay, what's off here for me and why am I not happy?
Yeah. Well, I mean, not to say that there was not a little bit of like trying to blame, you know, the other one for like little things, but I was just not happy with the way that I felt and the way that I was reacting. And I was starting to ask question, like, you know, if things keep going wrong and you keep seeing the same thing, like maybe you have to start looking at yourself. And the thing is, the more I would read personal development things, the more I was like, no, you really have to look at yourself as opposed to looking outside. So that's basically what I did.
Is it fair to say that up to this point, you really didn't do a lot of self-development work? Or not to the extent you're doing now?
Not to the extent that I'm doing now. But I would say that when things started to go weird, that's when I started to pay more attention to self-development. That's when I started to read a little bit more. And then I started discovering, you know, more personal development authors and doing some exercise. So it was kind of like a slow approach to self-development through reading, and videos.
So at this point, like, did you have a vision board at that stage in your life?
No.
A vision board? And I guess we didn't either.
No. Right?
Because one of the things you brought up earlier, which I think is fascinating, is that you do have a vision board now.
Yes.
And some of those things are actually coming.
Yes.
They're actually coming to life.
Yes, right? Yes.
You're starting to recognize them and seeing them in different places. So we can talk about, let's talk about the vision board in a little bit. Mm-hmm. But I want you to continue just kind of on your thought process here, because now you're at the point where you're looking into yourself, you're not happy, you're looking into more self-development work, and then you also ended up being invited to this mastermind.
Yes.
So just maybe explain a little bit about, you know, where your mindset was at that point, and then continue on, like, how did the self-development help you, and also, like, what the mastermind was all about for you.
Mm-hmm. Well, my mind was, like, split in two, because there's a part where it's kind of, like, doing all the things that I could do, forcing myself to do things, you know, being happy, trying to kind of like keep everything together. And
that false self almost.
Yeah,
right?
It's almost like it's self-protection self, and also trying to stay positive, but not really looking at what was going on type thing. Trying to keep everything afloat, because like I didn't know what I was going to find out.
That was
your
normal.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah, absolutely.
That was your norm, right? So you were just trying to maintain that normal environment for you so you could stay comfortable.
Yeah. Keep it normal. And also, like, I have a natural tendency to try to keep everything on a balanced level. So, like, I was doing my best, despite how I was feeling, to keep everything afloat as much as possible. But under the surface, looking into, like, how can I solve this? Because there's something that's just not going right. So through self-development and going to, like, different networking event, I met Natalia, and then, you know, being more open to talking about, you know, like how your mind works and spirituality and all stuff like that, that's how I kind of got introduced to the mastermind. And it's one of these things, like, things fell into place without me realizing at the right time. That's how I met you guys, and then we started talking. And it's kind of interesting, because we were talking about how to be good entrepreneurs and make money and things like this. But what we worked on were basically ourselves. And to be able to have a group of people when we could talk about these things made me realize more about what was making me unhappy. Because I had some fears of looking into what was going on, especially within the marriage, because part of the fear was like, if I start looking into it, we might separate, we might not be together anymore. And that's probably one of the reasons why I never really looked into it, because deep down I know something was not working. And part of your mind is saying, well, if it's not working, then you guys might have to separate, and I didn't really want to look into that.
So what's interesting is that, like, so your fear was actually what was keeping you back from taking that step forward. You knew looking into this was probably the right move, but the fear of the unknown and the fear of what your life might happen to your life.
Yes.
It sounds like it was holding you back.
Of course.
Where now you're looking at fear as like a stepping stone. You're like, no, fear is not going to hold me back. You're just going to keep moving forward.
Yeah.
So when you started going through the mastermind, you started asking the right questions and talking to the right people, how did things kind of shift for you? How did you start to see like more about what you wanted for yourself, but also that, you know, this marriage may not be the right thing for you anymore?
Mm-hmm. Through the mastermind, I just got to know a little bit more about myself. I got to know a little bit more about what I was doing to, like, how I was basically getting in the way of myself, how I was keeping myself from growing for fear of losing, because of like how fear was basically holding me back, essentially.
Right. Yeah. And it's a big thing.
Yeah. And the whole thing about like, if I, like, I had a choice, I continue to live with fear and be more and more miserable and sad and not live life to the fullest, or I face the fear, take a leap, and then give myself a chance to be happy, not only for myself, but for him as well, because I didn't think it was fair for us to kind of like slowly grow apart and be miserable on both sides. So it was one of these things where like, I basically had to look into what's going on and kind of like face the fear, basically.
Right.
If you want to be happy.
Yes. Right. So by facing that fear and taking that next step, right, you're able to also probably like learn more about yourself as a person, right?
Yes.
So at this stage, right, you're obviously, like you said, like almost like two different people. One, trying to deal with the marriage and figure out if it's going to stay, if it's going to end. And then also you're learning a lot about yourself.
Mm-hmm.
So at some point, those two people must have collided. And then you must have had to kind of say, okay, well, which direction am I going in now? What is the best future for MJ? And I'm curious if at some point, like, exercises like creating a vision board came into place, which kind of helped enable you to figure out the life that you wanted for yourself.
Yes, definitely. I mean, one of the first thing, like, I guess my, when those two people came into a head, my solution was like, okay, let's give this one more try. Let's see if we can make a vision board together. That was my thing. Cause I mean,
I didn't know that.
Yeah. One of the things that was worrying me is like, there's no vision for us in the future. I was trying to see like, okay, so what's next? Like, we're here kind of doing our thing. It seems like we're growing apart. What are we like, what's the vision? So I'm like, okay, let's try to do a vision board. So I'm going to do my own vision board. You do your own vision board and let's do a vision board together. So I did, that was, I think, the first vision board that I did. And I think it was right at the beginning of the mastermind. Like the first time doing a mastermind. So it was like a general type of vision board. So I did mine. And then so it was in our bedroom. There was one on his side, one on my side. And there's one in the middle for the two of us. So I did mine and he never did his. And it took like a year. And every time I would bug him, like, vision board, like, you know, here's some magazine, like do some, even have the one for the two of us. Like I started to put things.
Yes,
I
think it's really so positive.
Because that was me trying to figure out a way to make it work. So I did that. And then after a year, but he never added anything to it. And then like that made me sad, but it made me realize like maybe he doesn't have a vision for the two of us. So maybe I'm trying too hard. Like, I mean, if it takes a year to just to be able to get a vision board going, to kind of like know where we're going and you're not interested in doing that, there's always an excuse of like, there's no time for that.
Right.
Like that made me start to ask some questions. I'm like, what are you doing here? Like, what's right, so the point of all this?
There's another one of these red flags that are popping up.
Yeah.
You're willing to make this effort to see how your future can be together. And here's your partner not even willing to make an effort.
No, it took after a year, like I just took everything down. I don't even think he noticed it.
Okay, wow.
But so I took everything down.
So that took a whole year actually, right? Of you actually going through this process. Yeah. So I mean, during that year, I mean, where was your head at? Like, I mean, a year is a long time to be living in that kind of like state where you're unsure, especially when you're in a marriage, right? And where exactly was your head at? Like, were you
all over the place?
Yeah.
All over the place. But at the same time, it was one of these things where I had committed to myself that I'm, no matter what, I'm going to keep growing. that's one of the things okay, that I can make for myself. Like, always, I consider myself like a life student. Like, I'm not there to just stay in the same state.
Right.
Like, I'm there to keep growing. So that was one of the things. So I'm like, okay. So I just kept like, as that was going on, I was still working on myself. I was still going to the mastermind. I was learning more about myself. And I also started exercising. That was another thing that was something that was super important for me. The year before was like, I was a little bit overweight. I was like, okay, this year, like, I'm going to take care of business, but I'm also going to take care of myself. Because that's like super important. And through the, and that was like with the help of the mastermind, like I started to work on my mind with the group. And then the next step, I remember one of the members, Asar, was like, well, you know, with all these things going on, well, it's, I can explain that one of the things that happened is there was this time where I went to see my sister and we were running. And I'm not a runner at all, but she was kept pushing me to run. So I'm like, okay, I'm just going to run once with you. And I started running. And for some, I don't know what happened to my body, but I started crying. Like I had like some sort of weird panic attack and crying. And I told that to the mastermind. And Asar was like, well, you've been working on your mind so much. You've been kind of like looking at all the stuff that was going on, but physically you haven't done anything to release that. So you need to start, you know, doing some exercise. So that's where the year after I was like, okay, exercise is going to be one of the things. And that's how I started training with Julian, another member of a mastermind,
right,
and kept working on myself. And that helped a lot through the process.
Okay. So it wasn't like one of these things actually was your big kind of aha moment. It was utilizing like a few of these different kind of like tools and tactics to help you kind of like rebuild yourself, right? So as you're kind of like, you know, shedding your skin from this like marriage and this kind of old behaviors and these old kind of like life habits that you've been going through, you took on these new habits and you're creating this new self identity and this new self worth for yourself, right?
Yes, definitely. So because at the time I hadn't faced the fact that that was possible, but it was one of these things where I'm like, well, maybe I need to keep working on myself no matter what, because there's this whole thing about who you're with, what's around you is a reflection of what's going on inside.
Right.
So I had that in my mind. So I'm like, let me just keep working on myself, because I know that there's some stuff that I still need to work on. So, you know, exercising, getting up earlier, that was all through the mastermind. That was all through the influence of people in the mastermind.
Just talking about yourself with a group of other people, also listening
to
other people and their stories, right, can be very beneficial to helping you kind of like calm your mind and give you a direction too for moving forward, like tactics, like the vision board and exercise and being part of a mastermind. These are all called tools that anybody can really take upon themselves, right? They just have to be willing to take that step. And I think what's cool about your story is you didn't allow like 17 years or almost 18 years of being with someone to kind of keep you down and to kind of like not allow you to grow as a person. It almost like worked out as an opportunity for you to like work on yourself, to rebuild yourself, and now to present yourself to the world as like a new, I don't know if improved, but a new enhanced or enlightened, a new enlightened MJ, right?
Still growing.
Still growing, for sure. Yeah. For sure.
I believe that you have to do that. Like it's a constant thing. Like it never stops. You always need to keep growing. You always need to become better. Like every day is an opportunity to be a better person.
Right.
So that was, no matter what was going on around me, I was trying as much as possible to make sure that myself, I'm doing better. I'm a better person. I'm reacting better. I'm more kind, more open, whatever, like every day.
So if you could look back and, you know, meet, like talk to the MJ from like, let's say about 10 years ago or even 5 years ago, what advice would you have to that MJ that you could give yourself that, let's say, maybe would have like, you know, shed a couple of years off this whole process, or maybe that could have like, you know, make you grow a little bit sooner, in the sense that like you were taking care of yourself and you weren't kind of stuck in this kind of, you know, relationship that wasn't working out.
Yeah, I would say don't act out of fear, act out of inspiration. Trust your guts and be more bold in your action. Don't try to kind of like dim your light to make other people feel comfortable.
Right.
In a sense. Okay.
I think that's very powerful, especially for anyone else that's probably in a relationship that may be having these same feelings and not sure about their partner anymore, whether married or not. Mm-hmm. I think a lot of people get stuck in the whole comfortable aspect of it. Mm-hmm. And they can see that it's not working out, but they're afraid not to say, okay, well, this is enough and I need to move on with my life. But moving on with your life means what's next.
It's difficult.
It's a whole new chapter in your life, which you seem to, and I'm not saying you did it on your own. You did it with all these kind of resources of,
oh gosh, yes.
With self-development work through books and videos and, mm-hmm. and the mastermind group and exercising and stuff like that. So, mm-hmm. so what would be like the one thing, if you could, recommend it as a tactic for someone who's just kind of starting out and not, not knowing where to start when it comes to like working on themselves or like the self-development work, where do you think would be a good place for someone to start just to get their kind of feet wet?
A good place to start. I mean, the thing that helped me a lot first was just to listen to other people's experiences and kind of like seek out people that are, living the same things as you are, like in the same situation that you are right now, and that found the solution for it. Like just through example, that was the first thing. And through this example, then there's books that are recommended, of habits that they have that you can start reading. And then start taking on these habits, like a lot journaling. Oh, I forgot. Journaling is a huge aspect of my personal self-development. Like I used to journal, I still journal on a regular basis on, how I feel and things like this. And it was a great way for me to kind of put things a little bit in order and see where everything is for myself.
Did you always journal, even when you were younger, even when you were, with Jamie from the beginning, or was journaling something new you took on?
It was on and off. Like I used to journal a lot when I was in high school, then, like it was on and off. But it's kind of interesting when things started to not make sense to me, I would journal. So if something bad happened or something like that, in order to calm myself and kind of like work through all the things that were going through my mind, I would journal. So it wasn't on a regular basis. And then after a while, when we moved here, I started to journal on a more regular basis, just about all my thoughts. And the more I did self-development, the more I journaled on a regular basis. Now I basically journal every day.
Right.
But I was also listening to a lot of podcasts of people talking about their experience and stuff like that. And journaling in terms of success was something that was very important. So I basically took that on.
Okay. So there's a few different things you brought up there that someone who is just starting out may want to take on. One, podcast. Listening mm-hmm. or even books yes. about self-development and just listening to other people's experiences and how yes. self-development work has helped them and benefited them could be a great place for someone to start because they can see mm-hmm. See examples of how it can benefit one person's life, right?
Mm-hmm. Definitely.
I think you also brought up like the mastermind group, which maybe yes. isn't the easiest thing to find necessarily, the right group of peers, but mm-hmm. things you can do on your own. Like you also said, be journaling, just mm-hmm. like on a piece of paper, writing down your thoughts, your feelings, just anything that will get you out of your own head and give you a mm-hmm. place to kind of vent in a really safe place.
Yeah.
Right. Is there any other kind of tactics or tools that you like to use that may be beneficial? I mean, we could even like going back to this whole vision board, like for myself, I was never, ever not a vision board person, but a goals oriented person. I just kind of mm-hmm. went with the flow of my life, everything kind of just worked out. But then it got to a certain point where I didn't have any goals. So I wasn't reaching it. I wasn't reaching my goals. Yep. I wasn't creating anything that was more long-term. So by having a vision board, mm-hmm. it enables you to kind of like create the life, the perfect life that you want for yourself, whether it be in 1 year, in 5 years or in 10 years, but it gives gives you a direction, right?
Yes. Yes.
So
super important.
Yeah. Super important. And is there any like other kind of advice or kind of, tools or tactics that come to mind that has really helped support you?
Well, I mean, to add to the vision board part, it's one of these things where it's like either you plan your life or somebody else is going to plan your life for you one way or
that's
the
wise.
Other. That was one of the thing. Yeah. That was one of the, and this other guy, I forget his name, was saying like, either you brainwash yourself or some other people are going to brainwash your mind for you. So you kind of have to make a decision. You take the reign or somebody else is going to use you for their own gain. So I remember hearing like some of these like random quotes and I realized that the whole thing about the vision board and writing down things is like you're making a plan to be able to give you a guide. Like when you build a building, you need plans. You're not going to build a building without proper plans. So it's the same thing for your life. And you can always change them over later on and stuff like that. So that vision board, writing down goals, writing like in any, like doing like a sketch notes of like different possibilities, like always put your own life in your own hands, like allow yourself to decide. Because the thing is, that's the thing, you can decide how your life is going to be if you take the time to be able to plan it. Otherwise, somebody else is going to do it for you, type thing. And most of the people, they kind of go through life almost as like zombies. Like they follow like the path of least resistance, whatever is like there for them, not realizing that you can steer your own boat.
Right, but it's also basically, it's also like society. You talk about people planning your life. It's almost like society can also be the one that's planning your life for you.
Growing up a certain way, but that's kind of
going to school, right? Getting the job, getting the 9-to-5 job, starting the family, getting the house, all these things, and those things, those things can be wonderful, and I don't want to take anything away from those. But I think there's even more to be able to sit down and say, okay, here I am right now in the future. How do I want my life to be? What does it look like? Who's surrounding me? Yeah. Where am I at? What's the feeling that I currently have? And being able to put that on a board, whether it's like cutting out things from magazines or using a pen and pen and just writing words down, or using something like Pinterest, which I love to do, and just saving things and just going back to it and going back to it, I think it gives you the opportunity to say, okay, well, this is where I am now. That's where I want to be. Now let's start figuring out that plan so I can get there. And you are actually an amazing example of this, because like for someone – who didn't have the vision board, started to create it with their partner. Their partner decided, no, it's not for me. You stuck with it, right? You did the self-development work. You now kind of released yourself from this relationship. You're now on your own. Mm. And now slowly, from what you're saying, like your vision is coming to life. Like you went to California. There was things resembling your vision board. So it's not just like something that we're just kind of saying as a tool to have fun. This is a real... this is a real tool that you can actually take on to help improve your life. Yeah. And nobody else can do this for you. It has to start with you. You are the only one that can actually do this and create it for you. There's obviously like people out there that you can ask for support, like a mastermind group or your family or friends, whoever that may be. Mm-hmm. But I think one of the bigger takeaways that I'm getting from this is it all starts with you. And that's what you did. You took your life in your own hands, MJ. And like, I just commend you. And I think that you're a super strong person. And obviously, like I've seen you on the last couple of years of your journey, which has been the biggest probably transition of your life. And from where you were to where you are now, I think the sky is the limit for you. And I'm really happy that, you know, we're able to even have this conversation. So a couple other things before we end the call. One thing I want to do is now just give you an opportunity to like, and I've done this exercise myself and I've done it with Krista, my soon to be wife. and
congrats for that.
Yeah. And I'm finding it to be really rewarding. And the exercise is this, is basically, giving the opportunity to let go of something, whether it's a habit or a feeling or just something in your life that you feel like is holding you back and that you would love if you could just snap your fingers, if you could just release it and it's gone, and then set the intention to replace it now with something that'll serve you better with getting you one step closer to your vision. And the reason why I've been finding this exercise really helpful is because a lot of times we focus on the vision or we focus on letting things go on a separate exercise or a separate kind of tool, which is amazing. And I think you should do it, but just, I want to give you the opportunity to let something go, but also now, you know, replace it with something more positive, and with the hopes that by you putting it out there into the world right now, that this is something that kind of manifests for you.
So what would that be for me? I mean,
Well, something that you would want to let go. Like if there's one thing in your life. And the way that it worked for me, was like, it's like a habit. It's like a tendency that I constantly have on a daily basis, that if I look back on myself for the last day or week and I'm like, if I could replace that tendency with this habit, it would change up my whole almost life. It would change up my whole routine and get me closer to where I'm going. Because like, if you look at yourself, imagine someone was following you around with a camera all day and then you can watch yourself on a daily basis. Think about how many behaviors and how many patterns you have that aren't exactly serving you from a positive aspect, getting you closer to that vision.
Yes. Well, the thing that I would love to get rid of is self-doubt, for sure.
Okay.
That's something that I have to constantly, it takes me a while to get things done because there's a lot of like, what if this, what if that, what if this, that kind of goes through my mind. So it slows down the process of being able to achieve things. I doubt a lot. Like no matter how much I face my fear, there's a lot of doubt that comes in between. So it takes me a little longer. And what I would like to replace this by is just to act more boldly and like trust my intuition a lot faster. Like have that, you know in your gut that it's the right thing to do and you kind of just do it without hesitation. Because I still hesitate. It takes me a while to move things forward. But yeah.
So if you want to even take that self-doubt one step further, you could even consider this, it's more fear than anything. It's fear of if you're willing to like step into your own or go all in on yourself and just kind of take those risks to get what you want to get. Mm. So I don't think you would necessarily want to like remove it. I think it's more about like maybe it's about removing the process of going down that rabbit hole when those thoughts come up. Right.
Yes.
Sorry, my actual connection cut out a little bit. Did you say what?
Oh yes, I would like to like you said, bring on all bold, be more bold and kind of like go for the big stuff.
Right.
I go for a little bit bigger than I'm used to, but I can go even bigger. So going all in a little bit more would be
okay.
Much better.
Yeah. So I think you could take that now, that step almost moving forward, like today, tomorrow, when those thoughts part arising, like I would just sit with them, right? And obviously those self-doubts are going to come up, but then allow yourself to say, okay, well, that's not me anymore. Actually tell yourself, like, that's not me anymore, right? This is the new MJ. This is the new me. These are the new patterns that I want to have moving forward, and allow yourself to strive and reach for those bigger goals and dreams. Because I think I think that for all of us, they are within reach.
Yes.
We just have to let that fear kind of, you know, sit with us, but not let it kind of control our actions and control like what we do. And I think that can resonate with anybody. There's actually this saying that I came across online yesterday, which is perfect for what we're kind of talking about. And the saying was this: turn fear and frustration into motivation and excitement, right?
Because if that
fear is popping up, like, it's an indicator that maybe it is the right direction that you're going. And the more fear you have, it's like, take someone who's like, even myself, when I learned how to snowboard, right? Like trying the harder mountain or like the steeper hill or whatever it may be. There was so much fear that would pop up, but like, I didn't allow it to like say, okay, no, I'm not going to do it. I would go ahead and do it. And then I would feel so much reward and so much like, I would just feel amazing because I challenged myself and I was able to persevere and keep going forward and stuff. So I hope, I hope that you're able to do that. And I mean, I hope that you're able to continue to, you know, to keep growing and to keep. I know you will.
Yeah, it's a practice. Like I find like the more I face fear, even the little fear, like the more I'm like, it's almost like a pattern in my mind of like, okay, I faced it before, I can do it. And then I get to face bigger fears, which is kind of interesting. So keep facing fears and moving forward.
Yeah, I think that's a good kind of lesson. All right. Well, it's been amazing chatting with you. Is there anything else that you kind of want to get off your chest at this point? Or do you feel like you've kind of said enough?
The only thing that comes to my mind talking about fear is that I'm realizing right now is like, fear is almost like somebody putting the brake on your car as you keep putting the brake, like you're going somewhere, like you're driving somewhere and fear keeps putting the brake on. So it kind of release the brake a little bit more to be able to move towards your goal faster.
If fear is the brake, then what is the gas pedal?
Action.
Or motivation.
Action.
Okay, action.
Courage,
Let's say
action.
action.
Like, action is really the thing, yeah. Because when you do
Yes, I
something in
love
spite of
that.
the fear, you move forward.
Yeah, I could even see a nice little visualization there. And I mean, that makes sense because, like, fear is the gas pedal stopping you, but you got to put the throttle down and you got to hit hard on that action. And it doesn't have to be, and it can be a scary thing when you're trying something new, starting a new business, quitting your job, going into a new relationship, leaving a certain relationship, right? There's that fear holding you back, but when you put the pedal down and you create that action, the world is yours, and you are a great example of that. I mean, you did it.
Thank
You created that action, and you went to
you.
California. You're getting your own. You're back in Toronto. You're getting your own place. Your whole life is kind of ahead of you, and I think it's amazing. So,
Thank
okay, well,
you.
I truly appreciate your time, and I hope to have more of these conversations with you. And
Absolutely.
yeah, so thanks again for being our first guest on our podcast.
Thank you.
And
Thank you for having me.
yeah, no problem. Enjoy the rest of your day, and I'm sure we will talk soon.
Ah, good. Sounds good.
Okay,
Talk to you soon.
thanks, MJ. Bye-bye.
Bye.
The podcast you just heard was published with Anchor. Got something you want to say to the creator of this show? Send them a voice message using the Anchor app, free for iOS and Android.